All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing on a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects? Everybody present and accounted for? All in the Palatial Gow Media Studios. Nick behind the window, Barry and I behind the desk. Ready to go for the next 3 hours. Hopefully you are too. Buckle up. Let's enjoy the ride. What's up, fellas? 24 hours ago, we were at Buku.
Sup.
Now what we up? Are kicking it. Well, let's just get right down to it.
Okay, what do we get
down
to?
You had things to do when we left the show yesterday.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You tweeted about them. I didn't know if you had seen the commercials or not, but I was hoping when you went car shopping, you got the guy on the test drive that either had the movie voice or decided to freestyle rap everything about the car.
The guy that I... So I went car shopping yesterday, and the guy that I got... Well, okay, you helped me out.
Yep.
You got me in touch with a guy that knew a guy, and that's how it works, right? So I called him, let him know I was coming. I show up. He was there waiting nice enough. And he had a salesman that was going to help me. So they have trouble finding the car I want. They bring me the wrong one first. Because I'm like, I want the Accord Touring Edition 2.0 liter.
Okay.
And they bring me the Sport 1.5. And I was like, nah, I want the 2. Okay. So then they finally bring it around. We go on the test drive. And the guy's real nice. And he's a listener. He listens.
Oh, good.
He's like, oh, yeah, I listen to you guys sometimes. I was like, yeah, cool, man. That's great. And then we get done, and we're just talking while I'm driving, and it's, by the way, the car is freaking awesome.
You like it?
Love the car.
So you think you got the right one of the three?
I think, yeah, I think I'm going to be able to deal without a truck. It's going to suck at some point, I realize that, but in the long run, this is better for me, just because of the nature of what I do, comedy-wise and driving-wise. So, I mean, 35,000 miles a year is a lot. That I put on my truck.
Yeah, because I think the average is 15, isn't it?
Yeah, 12 to 15 a year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm putting 35.
Yep.
So it's a big chunk. So it's the right move. But then, so we're talking a little bit, and he was cool dude, but at one point he goes, so what do you make on a gig? I was like, well, that's not really.
Whoa.
What? He
asked me, what do I make when I'm out of town?
25 cents. Should have lied to him. He goes, broke as hell.
He goes, so like, I guess you make a lot of money. And I was like, no, comics, like my level don't make all that much money. He's like, well, what do you like make in a weekend? I was like, well, I'm not going to answer that question.
Sir?
Yeah, I'll fill out the credit app, but I'm not.
How about none of your damn business?
Well, then he goes, well, what does like the big time guys make? Like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, like, there's guys that'll make a couple hundred thousand dollars in a weekend at the Houston Improv. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah, it just depends on who you are. And well, I'm not getting that money. I mean,
how much do you make, sir? Selling cars.
Yeah, really? What's your commission on an average sale?
So, which I know because I used to be in the car business, which leads to some of my frustration. But, So I was like, then we part, and he's like, well, since you're a comic, I guess I can tell you some jokes. I was like,
yeah.
This just started all off on like two wrong foots.
Which I get it. Like,
yeah. Intentionally.
Okay. That was good.
That reminds me, we need to talk about the guy that kept saying he got his third foot down last night.
Oh, yeah. On the fumble.
Yep. Well, it's his third foot. I'm like, he doesn't have a third foot, dumbass. He's got 2 feet.
Yes.
He kept going, well, his third foot was down. It wasn't. Was his third foot down? What are you talking about?
Okay, we'll get back to that. Stay with the
car. God, that made me so mad. I almost turned the game off at that point. So he's like, now he's telling me jokes. And I'm trying to look at the car. And he's telling me jokes. Huh? And I'm just like, I'm just... want to look at the car. I've not had a chance to drive this, and so I'm decided like, okay, yeah, this is definitely what I want, but I want the 2.0. 1.5 wasn't great. So we go inside, and they're like, they take my truck to go evaluate it for the trade, and of course they come back. And now, mind you, I have a buddy that sells cars in Marshall, Texas, and he works for the Patterson Dodge dealership. He owns the Patterson Dodge dealership in Marshall. And I'd already talked to him about getting the Ram truck. So I sent him my info on my truck for the trade-in. He goes, yeah, I can probably get you about $17 for it. It's probably about what it's worth, top end that I could get for you. Cool. So that's what I tell the guy. I'm like, look, I know I can get $17 for the truck. So they come back and they're like, well, our guys are saying like $15.1. But I could probably get them to go $15.5. I'm like, well, that's just not, no.
No.
So then he does pretty good on the price of the car, but I think most dealers are going to do that because they know you can look it up.
I was going to say, but Nick, you're with me on this. Did you break? When? At what point during the process did you break out the spreadsheet?
Well, I
just
want to
know if you just threw the document. I don't know
if a spreadsheet would help you in this particular instance.
No. So I knew that I could get the car for around 33. I knew I could buy the car for 33. All right. So I was like, yeah, that's about what I think I could get for it. Stickers are like 36 something. So he's at like 33.6, something like that, okay. 33.5. So I'm like, that's not bad. But then, so he doesn't. So as we're talking, I could tell that he's kind of like mentioning things for later. Like he's talking about how, well, sometimes your credit score might be good, but then when you pull it at the dealership, it's lower. And I'm like, no, I can pretty much tell
you, sir.
My credit score, damn near perfect. In fact, the last time I pulled it, it was perfect. Not going to lie.
Bragging.
Like my bank does it for free, so you could just print it out.
Yeah, I have outstanding credit. I really do. And I'm proud of that because it took a long time to get it. So
you had outstanding picks for a couple of weeks, too.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Don't jinx everything.
I've had good credit for a long time. I'm not worried about that. So then... So I knew he was setting me up later for finance when they upped my interest rate and tell me my credit wasn't as good as I thought. I was like, yeah, no. So I'm picking up these little vibes. And then he comes back and he's like, all right, so the car is this, and then there's the dealer add-ons. And I was like, I don't want the dealer add-ons. And he's like, oh, I can't do that. I can't take those off. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me because you don't have the car I want. So if you're getting the car from another dealership, so they don't have those add-ons. Why are you... Well, you're already charging me $1,500 for one of them is nitrogen in the tires. I'm not paying for you to put nitrogen in
the
tires.
That's a new trend now.
That is stupid.
Because nitrogen doesn't lose air.
I don't care. Or lose pressure or whatever. Guess what? You can't find places to put nitrogen in your tires.
Exactly.
So once you pay for it, you've wasted your money because every air station in America doesn't have nitrogen. You have to go to like a tire dealer or there are only a select few places that do it. So it's pointless for me to get that because when I'm on the road in BFE, Texas, I'm not getting nitrogen. I got to put air in my tire.
Exactly.
Oh, they got manure, though.
Well, yeah.
Depending
so like,
on where you are in Oklahoma.
So I'm like, those things like that. And then there was like the trunk mat, like a trunk. I don't want that. Take it out. I don't want those things.
Oh, they love charging you extra for the mats.
I know. I used to work in the car business. This is why I got frustrated because I let him know. Yeah, I used to be in the car business. And he was, you know, I know what the tricks are. I know what the tricks are in financing. I know what the tricks are in the trade-in. I know what the tricks are when you buy a new car.
Well, that's the first thing he should realize. When you make that statement, it's like, okay, all my little games
go out the window.
I told him
I worked at Conroe Mazda for 2 years. And because we were talking about both living in Conroe. And now,
didn't care. It was actually counterproductive, wasn't it?
He was like, I can't change that $1,500. Yes, you can. I know you can. I've been in this business. I know what you can and can't take off the invoice.
Yep.
I've even had dock fees removed because I was so adamant about it. Like, you know, certain, like, oh, well, you have to pay this fee and that fee. No, I'll pay your $50 dock fee. I'll pay the destination charge, but I'm not paying that. I'm not paying the rest of this stuff that you have on here. That's all ridiculous. And I know that because I've had all of that removed from deals in the past when I sold cars.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's the kind of thing that frustrates me is because usually when you go on a referral and a recommendation, you expect them to just kind of shoot straight with you.
It doesn't always work.
Cut all the BS out. Let's just get right to it.
And all it was I could have gotten that at any car dealership I went to. I could have gotten that same thing at any car dealership. So I was like,
Referrals with cars, it's like hit or miss, man. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Because you don't know what kind of mood that person's in.
So I was just talking about it on my Facebook, and I tagged my buddy that owns the Marshall dealership. And I was like, hey, man, I wish you sold Hondas. He goes, oh, one of our owners or one of my partners is owns a Honda dealership in Victoria. Okay. I was like, let's do it.
There
so yeah, so hopefully that'll work out. But
not a short drive for you.
No, not a short drive, but
he's used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and my wife's dad is buried in El Campo, so I'll just make it a Saturday. We'll go down and visit him, and then go a little further down, and and get the car. So, it's just, I hate that process so much. It's like, I get it in a way they have to make a certain amount of money, but at the same time, like, everyone is hip to the game now. Like, people, I watched a video because I was looking for other things, and I ran across this video. It was like, a car salesman tells you 6 things to know when buying a car that'll save you money. I thought, let's see what this is. And I watched it, and it was dead on accurate. He talked about going in with your own financing because they will up the rate on you.
Yep.
He talked about not negotiating your trade until the very end because they won't.
The best way to approach that is not to tell them there's a trade in. Just don't tell them.
Absolutely. It's 2 separate transactions. You go in, I just want to buy a car. Do you have something to trade? Nope. And you work the best deal for that. And I do this all the time with my, like, last time I bought my wife's car. Well, I didn't have to worry about it last time because they were actually cool at the Nissan dealership. But every time I've bought a car, I'll go in, only negotiate on that car. And usually you go in with your research. There's not much they can do. And then at the very end, you're like, you know what? Maybe I will trade it in. Take a look at it. Just tell me what you'll give me for it. But you have to negotiate
because I just went through it. And when we went through it.
I hate it so much.
I told you guys. I had already done my research as to what our trade would be. And because so I let them take a look at it. When they came back and they pumped it $2,000 more than what the I was like, we'll do that.
Yeah.
But I had my ducks in a row.
That's great that they didn't mess with you. And that's the thing, is it's like that. I don't know why they feel like you always have to go through the game, you know?
No matter what,
they're always going through the game. It's like, yeah, but if you can tell that the guy knows the game, why are you still going through the game?
Yeah, last time I bought a car a couple times ago, my buddy's co-owner of a dealership, and he goes, I had already told him I didn't know that, so I was dealing with somebody else. He goes, no problem. He goes, get them to give you, put everything in writing, and then send it over to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends it back, and he circled like 5 things. He goes, leave all these things circled, send it back to them, tell them if you remove these 5 things, we got a deal.
Yeah.
And I go, what did I just do? And he goes, those are all things that are straight cash grabs from dealers. Add-ons. They have nothing to do with the car and nothing to do with your deal.
That was that $1,450 line item.
Yeah.
So over $3,000, essentially, I'm not buying from there. I'm just not doing it. And it's not one of, well, you didn't give me a chance. No, I did give you a chance because I was there. And you
knew
I was a referral.
What time did you go? Right after the show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gave you a chance. You knew I was a referral, and you still try to get an extra $3,000 out of me. And then the problem becomes, is we've got car salesmen that are listeners.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying this is every car salesman, but when you go through this, and then you're like, God, I hate buying a car, then they come at you and we're like, oh, man, no, it's not as like you think. It really is, though.
Yep.
It really is.
Because if it wasn't, you'd do exactly what we just said. Cut all the BS out and go, look, I know I could be doing this and this and this, and because we normally do that, but no, let's just get to it.
The other thing that they don't realize, well, the people that are buying a car a lot of times don't realize, is there's a dealer holdback on every car that the manufacturer gives to the dealer that you don't ever see. So when you, let's say that they're like, well, we got to make some money on the car, so if you'll pay $500 over invoice, that's great. You know what the dealer hold back on the car I'm buying is? $700. So not only was he getting the $1,400 or the $1,500 in the add-ons, the $1,500 in the trade, he was getting the $700 from, by the time it's all said and done, if I finance with him, they're making $4,000 or $5,000 off of me.
Nah. This portion of the program is a reminder to all car dealers that the usual suspects will accept your sponsorship and drive your cars if you want to provide.
Yeah.
Please contact the ESPN Gal Media sales staff if you are interested.
Again, it's not everybody. It's not. Because when I bought my car, my wife's car at the Nissan dealership, no problems.
Well, Sterling McCall Lexus did us right, and that was because we dealt directly with the general manager.
Central Nissan was where I bought my wife's car. No problems at all.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. Just getting started. We want you a part of the show. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. If you want to reach us via Twitter, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry Is Funny. You guys are the suspects that make this thing go, so be usual suspects and chime in so that we can get going as we're just getting started. We've got plenty more to get to. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I switched to Infuse Energy about a year and a half ago. I cannot tell you how great they have been, easy to deal with, and how much money they've saved me. In the dog days of summer when it's super hot and your air conditioning bills are super high, they knocked my bills down hundreds of dollars a month, saved me thousands over the course of 12 months, And the great thing is they're constantly in communication with me. I get weekly emails to tell me what my bill's going to be, when I used energy the most, when I used it the least. They're going to do the same thing for you. They're going to make sure that they constantly communicate with you and treat you like their best friend. That means that they're going to be honest. And sometimes they're going to tell you, hey, there's another company out there that can beat our deal. It doesn't happen often, but they want to make sure that you realize they're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They're trying to make sure that you treat them like they treat you, and that's like a trusted friend. It's great, great people doing great things, whether you use it for your family or your business. It's energy you can use. Call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or log on to infuseenergy.com. You mention ESPN 97.5 right off the top, $25 bill credit, and that always helps. And from there, it's 100% green energy at your fingertips while they make sure that they ask you a bunch of questions so they know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and what's the best plan for you. It's affordable hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. I see your death. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. That means that tomorrow's Way Back Wednesday, and we'll be working on that. If you guys have suggestions for what we should do, we will accept them. Not that we will pass them through the judge and jury process, but we will accept them as possibilities.
I still think we should do what I suggested a while back that you guys never liked.
If it's your suggestion, I don't.
I know. Okay. We could take genres, put them in a hat, and then you draw. And it's all not great genres. So it could be like country and country.
Well, I get to pick the genre.
Or country. And then, but you just draw it out of a hat, and whichever genre you get, that's your Way Back Wednesday.
We should just have the interns cut up like 10 or 15 yeah. pieces of paper, put a genre on each one.
Boom.
Put it in a hat.
Done. Draw it. That's your Way Back Wednesday. All right. Because there's too much thinking going on. And you guys aren't thinkers. And I'm tired of coming up with all the ideas.
See, I knew I was happy.
What do I got a guy to hook you up with on another car dealership? Deal. Let me get him on the phone.
Sir.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
I started bitching about that referee because I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was a fumble. It was one of the catches for a fumble. I don't know. Was it? I don't know who their referee guy was. Their expert. But so he says, and I don't even remember the exact play, but all he said was, well, I don't think this is going to be a completion because if you look at the third foot, he never got his third foot down. And I was like, my wife goes, did he just say that the guy had a third foot? And if my wife is correcting you on some stuff, you have really screwed up because she doesn't care about anything. And then he started it. And then what was hilarious is he goes, yeah, I would probably say incomplete. You can see the third foot. When the third foot comes down, the ball's loose. And so, yeah. And then they come back like, ruling on the field is a fumble. He's like, yeah, because he got the third foot down. Well, you just said.
And
you
Witten was all over it, too. Witten's like, I agree with him. I'm all over that. I see that third foot. And then all of a sudden, he was like, oh, yeah, like I said, they're going to go with the. I'm like, complete. What?
I was like, oh, my God, this is horrible.
And the other thing is with Jeff Triplett, you would think, I guess because all the years when he was a head official, the referee, we just heard like quick sentences. Like, after further review, the play stands. But when he gets to start talking about a call, that twang is like he just came out of a NASCAR freaking trailer.
He's very country. Very
right
country.
There with the third foot, we couldn't see where his tootsies were, so that thing got turned over. I'm going to have to go with the fact they're going to have to go the other way.
Yeah, it was... And the game was just a snooze fest. I'm glad Breeze got his record early because that's about when I stopped watching.
I'll say this. I was thinking about it before it happened.
After the third foot, it was when I was like, screw this, I'm going to bed.
When he got it within 35 yards, I was like, the classic moment for Drew Breeze would be, A, it's a touchdown, and B, it's of some substantial yardage. And it was a great play. It couldn't have been. Joe Tessitore, by the way, slow down a little bit on the Drew Brees speech to his kids, okay? Once was enough. 15 times about, did you hear what he said to his boys? The life lesson that he taught them. Did you hear the way he was, he gave them the hug and told them he loved them. And then, boy, he told them anything impossible, anything in life is possible if you're willing to work for it. We got it the first five times, Joe. Slow down. But I was glad of all that. But could we have two bigger dogs to watch last night? The Red Sox-Yankee game, which was complete snooze-all, and the Saints game was over by halftime. The only person that stuck that thing out was Clarence.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But back to the speech or the
Joe Tessitore and Drew Brees was kids. Yeah.
What I thought the whole thing was pretty cool.
Like, I'm all for it.
The fact that they stopped it. Now, they did penalize them, obviously, because the team came on the field.
Which I thought was kind of stupid.
Yeah, but I think you have to do that just to, like, you know.
But you know it's coming.
Yeah, but still, you play it by the rule book. But if you notice, they had a certificate in the ball. So you kind of have to play it by the rule. But I didn't really have a problem with that. It just seemed kind of odd, but whatever. They had the guy with the white gloves waiting on the ball, and that was all great. And then he's had the moment with his kids, which I thought was really cool.
Yep.
But don't think for one second that Drew Brees didn't know that microphone was on his body when he did that with his kids.
Yep.
He was definitely playing it up a little bit, at least, for the microphone, for the nation when he's talking to his kids. I'm not saying he wouldn't have done that, but maybe later. But at that moment, I think it was – although it's a great message if you're sitting there watching a game with your kids, then you can be like, see – he's just told his kids the same thing I told you, and that you can do it. So I get it. I'm not. You know, I just listen. It wasn't
Joe Tessitore went to that.
It was
well,
a little bit planned.
15 times. So well, that was. I mean,
I didn't have a problem with that. As much as
I just thought it was excessive.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely not spur of the moment.
Because I was going to say kudos to Drew Brees for being mic'd up. Because that's one where you got a lot. Everybody's pulling at you, and you know there's a lot of pressure to make sure you get it done. And so the fact that he agreed to have the mic on was great. I thought the moment with Sean Payton was very cool. Also a little bit thought out, but come on, coach, let's go win the game.
Yeah.
Now let's go win the game. But that was cool. And I have no problem with the message for his kids. I've gotten to know Drew a couple. He's a great dude.
Oops.
He is every. Yeah, I got
drop
it.
Drop that.
But yeah, I'm just saying, he is everything that you see. That's who he is. He is a class act. So
I've heard as much.
He would have done that regardless whether he was mic'd up or not. I firmly believe that. But
Tom Benson, no, I don't know Tom Benson.
I mean, the way that he clarified it and then ESPN ran with it. But you know what? They had to have something to hang on to because the game was already
trash. Yeah, the
game
sucked. By the way, Matt in Beaumont, Texas show, he said, I bought my wife's Dodge from Patterson and Marshall. I made the drive up from Beaumont because they shot me straight. He said they even showed me what they made off me, $300 on the computer. Doesn't surprise me. That dude runs a good dealership. And then USA Mike was on hold, so we want to get to his question after the break. But he wanted to know what better win to secure their job this past weekend, Herman at UT or O'Brien with the Texans? And okay. So we'll answer that. Somebody else wanted to know our thoughts on Bregman calling out the MLB.
We got
I don't
that
know
audio
if you saw that.
Charlie used it, so we should have
and
it.
And then shout out to Steelers fan Juan. He'll be back November 15th. So he'll be back in Houston, home base. So good for you, bud.
Cool. All right, so we got plenty to get to. We've got Astros to get to. Obviously, the aftermath of the Texans game. And going forward, an interesting little tidbit that happened this morning with a certain line to a certain game here in the backyard this weekend. So that we'll get to as well. And of course, if you want something, you want to get something off your chest that you've had on your mind, HRNP listener line open 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. Right now, before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've told you about Mattress Mac. We all know who he is. We know what he does. Whenever the Houstonians are in need, he comes to the rescue. Well, he also wants to come to the rescue anytime you need furniture. He's got three locations to better serve you. He's got Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. He's got the Galleria and he's got I-4 45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which of the three locations you choose, same great customer service, same great American-made furniture, brands like Stickley, Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, and the bottom line is everything he says is everything they're going to do. That means they're going to save you money. We know that. But more so than that, you see it on the showroom floor, you're going to get it. Buy today, get it tonight. It's within 3 to 4 hours, people. You buy it, they're at your door, they're delivering it. They're moving furniture around. They're taking things away that you don't want anymore, and they're taking care of you because that takes care of business. And so it's a great deal. And he's always going to be there for you. He's in Houston. You're in Houston. And he wants you to think, every time I need furniture, I'm going to Gallery. And what he says in all those commercials, absolutely what they're going to do. Time and time again, you will find out, no matter where else you shop first, Gallery really will save you money.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you want to play fantasy football but you don't want to get locked down for the whole season, come play with us. Just log on to ESPN975.com, click on the Pro Football Pick'em, brought to you by Bombshells. Cool thing is, you can play for a week, you can play for a couple weeks. If you think you've got it all figured out, you can play for the season. I even went in and set my picks for the entire year, every week through week 17. But then you can go back and adjust them later. So it's really cool. You don't have to. That way you don't forget later if you're playing. And each week we're giving away prizes to the top three winners. One of this week's prizes is a free night stay at any Red Roof Inn in the country. Red Roof Inn gives you 15% off in October just for being a loyal radio listener. It's easier to get that discount. It's the easiest discount in the lodging industry. Excuse me. Just listen to ESPN 97.5, log on to redroof.com and use code VP. What? VP pound 623409. What on earth?
Use so you code. Had a break where you could have read that ahead of
no,
time.
No, you got it really last minute.
I got it. VP pound 623409. Get 15% off the best rate. Just go log on and play and try to win. Good luck.
Boy. Wait, what was that code again?
VP pound 623409er. Throw in a jeez. Niner there. Yeah.
Couldn't be like promo code Nate?
Huh?
Couldn't just be promo code Nate?
Wouldn't I that screwed that up bad.
That's, wow.
Yeah. Don't send them that one.
So while we were on the air yesterday, we were giving you updates. By the time we got off the air, it wasn't quite out of hand yet, but the Astros did find a way to put away the Indians, sweep Cleveland, and take care of business to move on to the next round. A lot of people on Twitter taking pot shots at Clevenger, the starting pitcher yesterday for the Indians, who earlier in the season had said the Astros really aren't that special. They really aren't that great of a team.
Yeah, I remember when he said that too.
Yeah, so a lot of people having some fun. But then the real fun began in the celebration afterwards. If there's going to be one person that you think is going to tiptoe the line these days, it is one Alex Bregman, and he has the credentials to back it up. But he went on Scott Van Pelt. He also went on the post-game interview in the locker room. And he had plenty to say in terms of voicing his opinions about his, what is he calling him now? The Showstros.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, the Showstros.
Does Tiger Woods tee off at 8 a.m. when he's going to win a master? Does Floyd Mayweather fight the first fight of the night? No, he's the main event, right?
Yeah.
So the Stros need to be playing primetime television, 7 p.m. So we're looking forward to playing primetime television ALCS. Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. He's right, though. I mean, the defending World Series champions. They probably played, I mean, outside of the wins, the best matchup, I think, was this, even though they swept them. But on paper, this was the best matchup. Absolutely. From a rotation perspective. Yep. And you buried these games in the middle of the afternoon. So I good for him, and rightfully so for calling them out.
The other thing about it is, I get it, and everybody, and obviously, and I made reference to it, the markets are going to dictate who gets the primetime game. But when you have a matchup, like you said, with the Indians and the Astros, when you have a very compelling matchup as it is, rotate them. You know what? We had networks doing different games at different times, not exactly going at the same time, but the way they staggered the games, TNT, Fox, FS1, and MLB Network, one of those three networks, you could have started the games later or in the early evening into the evening just so that everybody got a taste of primetime. But obviously they were so adamant on, you got LA and you got New York and you got Boston. That's what we're going to focus on.
Yeah, and they're trust me, they're giddy that they're getting four games out of Boston and New York, and I hope it,
even,
that's it.
Even more exciting in the fact is the fact that there's on no both sides game. Of the ledger, you got L.A. in the National League,
yeah.
and you've got New York or Boston in the American League, so they're going to win out ratings-wise again.
I would love a Milwaukee Astros World Series. That would
be fantastic.
That would and it would serve MLB right. It really would. It would serve them right. Which, by the way, just getting back to the series against Cleveland, I mean, this it wasn't even close.
Do you think Bauer is the biggest factor in that? Bauer
no,
not
I think
being ready?
The Indians' bullpen. Exactly what I told you it would be going into the series is exactly what I felt like was the issue with them. When you look at the starting pitching that they got, it was fine. They didn't get a ton of run production, but the fact of the matter is their bullpens just blew up on them. And Bauer was in the bullpen, so you can blame him for that.
Yeah, see, I think...
There's just that bullpen. Cody Allen isn't what he was. Andrew Miller isn't what he was. Trevor Bauer wasn't what we thought he would be. That's a bad bullpen.
To me, it just comes down to it's starting pitching if all the starting pitch. It's a starting pitcher series if all the starters line up. And because Bauer didn't line up, he wasn't ready. He was really, really bad coming out of the pen for the most part. It screwed up the entire anticipation of everybody would have loved to seen the two ex-college teammates who hate each other go up with Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer, and it didn't materialize. Then when Francona used him in the first three games on all three occasions, you knew he wasn't going to start at any point during the series. And that just, to me, the Indians, if they're going to be have a chance in any series, yeah, you got Clevinger, yeah, you got Carrasco, but the 1-2 punch is going to be Kluber and Bauer, and when that wasn't there, it took the luster off the series. That's just my opinion. I mean, you go bullpen, and I'll go starters, but obviously, like you said, Bauer kind of factors into both.
Clevinger and Carrasco combined gave up three runs.
Right, but that's and so the other thing that you could say is the fact the Indians
Kluber
just didn't
let
hit.
Them down a
the,
little bit,
and the Indians just didn't hit.
Well, it's because they faced good pitching. They faced good starting and a good bullpen. But I mean, I feel like. Like Clevinger, the five innings and the one earned run, I mean, he kept them in that ballgame. It's the same thing with Carrasco. He 5 1/3 innings, 2 earned runs. He kept them in that as well. In fact, I think weren't the runs scored after Miller came in? Because he didn't record an out. He came in and Carrasco had loaded the bases.
They were Miller's runs.
No.
I thought he put the guys on base.
That's what I mean. Carrasco put the guys
on
base.
Carrasco
put the guys on base. And I think that happened a couple of different times where the starters were pulled and the bullpen came in. And actually, the starter, like, I think Kluber got tagged with some runs that he left on base when he went out of the game that the bullpen gave up. So I think it was squarely on the shoulders of the bullpen. And I thought they got decent starting pitching. They kept them in it at least. They just, you're right though, they didn't hit well, but it was also because they faced outstanding starting pitching and a really good bullpen in the Astros. So whoever the Astros get, they better be on it. In fact, if I gave you a choice, who would you take? I mean, if you had to pick between Yankees and Red Sox, do you have a preference?
Honestly, to me, because of the fact that you know what you're getting from the Astros starters, I really think, to me, it really doesn't matter anymore. I thought the Yankees would have the upper hand heading home after having gotten the split and because Severino was on the hill, but holy cow, did he blow up? And, of course, there's this controversy now that he was off schedule. He didn't get down to the bullpen in time. He didn't warm up in time. Well, he didn't give up the runs in the first inning. He gave up the runs after he got going, although he was giving up some laser shots. I think that overall, as much as you know that the offensive lineup of both teams is capable, both teams' starting pitching doesn't come close to what the Astros have. But I think if I've got to pick one or the other, and since the Astros have gone through both of them, I would rather not deal with the New York circus of all the overzealous fans as much as the Red Sox, and I would take Boston. And then if you want the best, you beat the best, and you move on.
Okay. I think I would probably go Yankees.
Okay, why?
I think that their starting pitching it's okay. It's not great. They've got a hell of a bullpen. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. They've got a great bullpen. Starting pitching, like you said, neither of those teams are going to be able to match what the Astros right. are going to run out there. Because they're going to see Verlander twice. They're going to see Cole twice in a 7-game series. There's no way that they can hang with that. I mean, sell, yes, but after that, it's not great. Not what the Astros are bringing, but I think some of the difference becomes when you look at like the when you look at just the lineup, right? Like I was doing my prep work for the baseball series, one of the things I looked at is how many players does each team have with a WAR 3 or greater? And that tells you that that's a really good player that they're putting on the field. The Red Sox have 8. The Astros and Yankees both have 5. So just sheer star power, sheer bats in the lineup and pitchers that you have to face, the Red Sox are loaded, believe it or not. And mm-hmm. so it becomes a scarier proposition. Plus, I like the fact that if you can get good pitching and the Yankees are really bad defensively and the Astros will put the ball in play, that it, even though they ground into a lot of double plays, that lets you know they're putting the ball in play. It gives them, a better chance, kind of an edge that you might be looking for when it comes down to the two teams. So I think I'd rather face the Yankees overall, but...
I just my whole thing was just initially I hate dealing with Yankee fans.
Oh, that's
because they're so delusional, yeah. So over the top. But yeah, either way, look, I feel great about where this Astros team is because going into the playoffs, I wasn't sure. And yet you saw, and I wrote the article for SportsMap on it because you saw the names may change, but the results stayed the same. The supporting cast of this team is unbelievable. You know, look at a year ago it was McCann. And then all of a sudden, McCann goes down, and Yu-Gi-Oh got get Maldonado. Not only does he prevent anybody from stealing on you, and he calls a great game with these veteran pitchers, which you do have to work to get their trust, and then he hits a home run in game one. And Marwin has just, for as much as Marwin kind of returned to form to where his averages are mm-hmm. for his career, boy, playoffs, he stepped up. Reddick steps up. You know, you look at Tyler White steps up. So you're going to, obviously the core four, you still have to rely on. But man, with the supporting cast like the Astros have, when you talk about the combination of starters and the pen, I just love where they're at right now because they feel good. They've got there's always that great vibe in coming out of the clubhouse. But boy, they're confident as hell that they're gonna beat whoever they play, and that's a fantastic thing to have.
Somebody said if you get the Yankees, that also gives you home field advantage. Not something that I really am concerned about. Because in baseball, I don't believe that home field advantage makes that big of a difference like it does in basketball or maybe even football.
I think in game 7 it does.
But this is a good road team. That's why I don't think it matters. The Astros are actually better on the road than they are at home. They got the sweep on the road. They put up the most runs that they scored in the series against the Indians on the road. Like, this is a good road team.
Sure, but at the same time, if I told you got one game to decide going to the World Series, would you rather have it at home or on the road? Especially when on the road is Yankee Stadium.
Would I rather? Yeah, but honestly, I don't think that's... I mean, you're talking about one game difference in the series, and to me, it just... I don't think it matters for this team.
I think
team,
at Yankee
to be
Stadium it does. But
they clinched the World Series on the road. I mean, I don't think that bothers this team. And in general, in baseball, it's not as big of a deal because crowd noise. I mean, I had the energy and stuff. Yeah, and you get to sleep in your own bed and home cooking and all that. But at the end of the day, I don't really. That wouldn't be why I would prefer the Yankees. But it certainly is something to consider. I mean, it's at least a little bit of something.
Okay. Well, we agree to disagree.
Yep.
So that's cool. All right. So we're going to continue to roll on. HRNP listener line is open, so if you want to call, you want to text, we are here for you. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, and we're pretty good about being responsive throughout the show. So we'll continue to get to what we have on our list and what you have on your mind and go from there.
Yeah, but one thing we need to do, though, at some point is get back to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen as a show and have some fun and get some good food, man. If you guys have not been out to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen yet, make the trip. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. They hit me up on Instagram, which if you want to follow them, they're a great follow. They'll make you hungry, though. Be careful because the food looks ridiculously good on their Instagram, CNI713 on Instagram. But they hit me up and let me know there's some folks that drove from Beaumont just to get that chicken fried steak, which is... Oh God, it's so good. But be hungry when you go because that thing is huge. I promise you'll be full if you get that chicken fried steak meal. But yeah, they drove from Beaumont, watched the Cowboys game, had some Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, and you should check it out. You're lucky. You don't have to drive from Beaumont. You're right here in the city of Houston. So go check it out. The menu is diverse. If you're feeling some Indian food, you can do that. If you're feeling Southern comfort food, you can do that. What's great is even if you just want to eat healthy, maybe your wife is craving Indian food, but you're still on a diet or vice versa, then they've got grilled chicken and rice and green beans and salads and just about everything you could think of on that menu when it comes to Southern comfort Indian food and a healthy way to eat. And my suggestion here, people always ask me, what do I get, Barry? What should I try the first time? This would be my go-to meal the first time I go to Cowboys and Indians. Now go hungry because it's a lot of food, but get the non-quesadillas. Tell them you listen to the show. They'll give you 20% off. Get the Himalayan Heat Burger. and then add the 65 sauce on the side, and then get some red velvet cake to go because you'll be too full to eat it while you're there. But check them out. They got a full-service bar, TVs to watch the game, and you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number one, three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hopefully you're taking with us on the go. Wherever you go, you can listen to us, 97.5 from 3 to 4. We're on 94.1 as well in a simulcast, but more so than anything else, just download the app and make it easy on yourself and everybody involved. Download the app at ESPN975.com, and you can take us anywhere and everywhere you go, we go. It's just the way it works, and we have fun.
Be smart.
Yeah. Do you, but do us in the process.
Well, then
a solid.
Do, yeah, there you
a
go.
A solid. There you go. How about that?
All right. By the way, real quick, just to put a bow on that, I wanted to see the stats for the playoffs so far. Mm-hmm. Dodgers bullpen, 0.84 ERA.
Astros under one as well.
0.93. Two lowest bullpen ERAs. They both around same like 9-10 innings pitch, which also lets you know that they're getting good starting pitching as well because they're not having to pitch a lot of innings in their bullpen. Worst bullpen, Cleveland, 11.7.
Yeah, and that's failed. Like you said, and Bauer has a role in that too.
Yep.
So
10 innings from the bullpen, 11 ERA, 11, almost 12 ERA. Yankees in Boston, not great. Yankees have a 5.57 ERA, Boston 3.46. So they're prone.
Anybody not named Tito Francona or having that kind of name survive the Indians collapse the last 2 years? Because, you know, we talked about Joe Maddon being on the hot seat after the Cubs didn't win one of the two home games to make sure that they were in the playoffs, and then they ended up losing the wild card. But when you look at last year, that ridiculous streak of 22, 23 games in a row they won, and you know, propels them to all kinds of expectations going into the postseason, and they lose in the divisional series.
Yeah, pretty disappointing.
And now this year, like we just got done talking about, everybody thinks this is the best matchup of the first round. This will be the matchup that goes five, and they are swept clean. It's not a good look.
No, and like you said, I mean, there's a lot of other managers are probably fading some heat, but I don't think it's over yet. He might still be fading some
heat. It's possible, but at the same time, I think he's got a better chance to survive than most, and people realize he's not just a player's manager. I mean, everybody knows. He knows what he's doing, but the fact of the matter, there's just too much talent on that team for them to be swept.
Yeah. I'm
especially when they went out and made a move like Donaldson, right?
How do you not win at least one?
Yeah.
One game.
And you know what? They kept saying, sure, you've got, you know, two All-Stars that are your main bats. But they went out and they got a former American League MVP at the deadline to add to that lineup.
Well, and not only that, you've got two guys that were top five in the MVP race. Yeah,
Ramirez and Lindor. You know, Brantley's a hell of a stick.
You have an ace that is in the top three or five in Cy Young voting, probably.
Both guys are going to be,
Bauer was pretty
close. Bauer's going to be in the voting as well.
So, yeah, plenty of talent on that team, just didn't execute well. And sometimes, you know, who's going to get the blame for that is the manager. Yeah. Let's get to USA Mike's question because he had asked it and he was on hold when we first started the show. And but he said, who had a better win to secure their job this past weekend, Herman at UT or O'Brien with the Texans? That's from USA Mike. What say you?
My answer is what we've talked about all along. O'Brien's not going anywhere because the extension hasn't even kicked in yet. You're not giving a guy free money for four more years. So I would say, even though Tom Herman is still kind of in the fetal stages of his career at UT, I thought that was a bigger, more important win because early in the season, they were making tight ball games of teams they should be wasting away and blowing out of the water. And I think that was more of a signature. That was a signature win for Tom Herman at UT.
Yeah, I think if you even if you take away the contract situation, I don't think Bill O'Brien looked good in the win.
I agree.
From a coaching perspective, like I said yesterday, it was bad coaching, but the players played well. The coaching was bad. And there was you have to separate the two from that performance on Sunday. So I'm with you. I think Tom Herman, but I don't think he was on the hot seat either. I mean, he's pretty early into his career there at Texas. I don't think he was on the hot seat. But if you made me pick one, I would definitely pick Herman because I felt like O'Brien looked bad in a win.
And well, the perseverance factor, too, with Tom Herman being down, what was it, at 1:45-24.
Yep.
And being able to persevere and get through that. I think you can't avoid that. I think you have to give him a lot of credit for it.
Good point.
Well, and the thing, too, when you look at it, the national guys don't know the most of the time they don't do the research to know the contractual situation of O'Brien. But they're with exactly what you said, Barry. They're all over the fact that win, lose, or draw for the Texans, that's a very, very bad look. Because everybody by now can tell that is one talented quarterback you got. And the beating that he took and the offensive play calling that was obvious and evident and on a national stage so that everyone could see it loud and clear, pointed every finger at O'Brien going, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Get up, put him on the hot seat.
Yep.
Because they don't know his contract status. So Get Up's number one of those guys. They were like, who's on the hot seat? Bill O'Brien, number one. I'm like, I just scoffed at him. He's not.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not going to be because of, you know, either that or he just has nudes of the McNairs, similar to the nudes that Rick Smith had. I don't know. It's a weird deal. It seems, you know, we always talk about Houston being snake bit when it comes to certain things. And they would go out and get a 4-year extension on a coach that is proving himself week after week to not be good at his job. I don't even know if just turning it over to a play caller solves it. Because then there's the dumb things that he does with his timeouts. Sometimes he's over-aggressive with timeouts when he doesn't need to be. Sometimes he doesn't call them when he does, when he needs to call them. There's the challenges. He doesn't challenge certain plays when he should. He challenges plays that are meaningless. It just doesn't make any sense. And I don't think it's because he's too wrapped up in play calling.
I put all of them in an article a few weeks ago, and I stand true and packed on everything that I said about it and the things you're mentioning. And the other thing is, the only way that an offensive coordinator being brought in would be effective is if he didn't get to pick it. Is if McNair got to pick it, and McNair had, I don't care if he brings in a football mind to pick it, but if you leave Gain to pick it, Gain is a product of Bill O'Brien. So he's going to make sure that he's in cahoots with O'Brien. You just don't know the dynamic there, but it seems like, hey, they're going to be a team, and he's not going to go against the guy that brought him in.
Well,
and O'Brien's not going to bring in a guy that's going to make him look bad.
Well, I mean, most coaches are going to pick their own OC. The GM's not picking an OC.
Oh, there's been plenty of times. I mean, look, there's a reason why Bill Parcells said back in the day, hey, if you expect me to make dinner, I should at least have a hand in the groceries, because of the fact that if you didn't have a say-so in the GM and you didn't know the GM for whatever reason, or the GM was there pre-existing when you were brought in, it can cause a weird dynamic. And so I think that the owner would have to
coach. That's a coach saying that when it comes to
the coach
players.
Is saying it because
I'm
he wants
coaches
to have,
hire their own OC.
Most
it's
of the time,
his staff, the GM.
Most of the time, yes. But look, I mean, look, and I look at it from a different perspective too, because Daryl Morey will tell you, Daryl Morey picks 3/4 of the assistant coaches in basketball, which I think is just the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, in football, usually, that's why when there's changes that need to be made, Bill O'Brien has to fire his OC like he did before.
Sure.
He's got to fire, you know, Romeo Crennel or whoever it is.
If it was a clean slate and when O'Brien was brought in, it was, here, hire your whole staff. But then with the changes and the fact that he got Rick out, and when Rick got whatever he was, but Rick stepped away, and O'Brien was part of the Brian Gain movement, if it's not working and you know that he's got 4 more years with an extension and you need to do something, the owner has to step in and go, okay, look, you need to go get an offensive coordinator. And so to that point, whether you say you can pick it or I pick it or we'll have someone else pick it, I don't care. But at some point, you got to realize it's broke, it's not working, and something's got to be done. And
yeah,
that
I do agree with. But I think a lot of times now, it may be the case where O'Brien will say, this is the guy I want. And then, you know, Brian Gain and Bob McNair are going to also sign off on it. Because he may be like, "Oh, I want this." And they're like, "No, that guy sucks. We don't want that guy. He doesn't fit our system or our culture or whatever." But I think he would ultimately get that pick. They may have sign off on it though. I don't know. I don't know the inner workings, but
okay.
And then somebody said, "I wonder if the players know how much OB sucks at coaching because it seems like they love him." Is he a player's coach, really? I don't know if he is or not. I don't get that vibe. I could be wrong.
They don't have any personalities on the team that's going to go as far as like an OBJ and start making comments like that. I don't feel like even D-Hop has. Never heard Lamar Miller.
Deshaun,
like, look at the big
stars. The guy that calls him OB and, you know, and went out after he got hurt saying, "Look, I love working with OB and I think we got something special brewing here with OB." But other than that, you don't hear it much from anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I mean, they gave him the game ball for his kid, but I don't know how far that goes with them.
Yeah, and like who picks that and how it works either. So, all right, we got one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. So, if you want to join the program, we won't call it a fray just yet. 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Hour number two is around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.